I love the time of year that, and I know that the world is trying desperately to take Christ out of Christmas. I know that the world is doing this motivated by the devil himself to get rid of the child of God, knowing that if he can get rid of Jesus Christ, he can get rid of salvation, and he can grieve the Lord over the Lord's perfect sacrifice as being none effect because we just don't pay attention to Christ anymore. I know that's the end, but believe me is when I tell you this is still the time of year that more people think about Jesus Christ, I believe, than any other time. Even churches all across America will be packed out on Thursday night because that is the night that people go to church for their second time for the year. And that's okay. They're learning about Christ, and I'm excited to be in church every time the doors are open. Don't misread me, but I'm glad when people talk about my Savior. I'm glad when they hear about that, and I'm thankful for that for this time of season. If you turn to Matthew chapter 5, you would think that I would bring a Christmas lesson to you, but to be real honest with you, it's going to be down that line talking about gifts. One of the greatest gifts, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later in the lesson. We're going to review a little bit, and then we're going to talk a little bit more about this later on. But the greatest gift that you can give somebody, and I hope you hear this, especially this time of year, the greatest gift that you could give somebody, my opinion, is not money. The greatest gift you can give somebody is not a thing or a present or anything like that. One of the greatest gifts you can give somebody, especially brothers, now understand, when you're talking in Matthew 5, you're talking to disciples, you're talking to saved people. One of the greatest gifts you can give to each other is the gift of forgiving each other. And you might say, well, Brother Dave, I don't have anything against anybody. That's okay. Somebody's got something against you, I'm sure. But I want to talk to you a little bit. And this is something that you got to understand. I'm going to bare my heart to you a little bit this morning. This is one of the things that I've had to learn over the years that has come very hard for me. And I got to believe that I'm not alone. And if I would poll this room, talking to people that have trouble forgiving. When somebody does something to you or something happens to you, it seems very hard, especially for us, it seems like as Christians, we have a hard time telling each other we're sorry. And then what's even worse about that is when somebody tells you you're sorry or they're sorry, that you just don't accept the apology. And I'm gonna teach you something a little bit this morning, a little bit later. Again, we're going to review a little bit first, but I'm going to teach you something this morning that I believe the Lord is desperately trying to teach us how we need to be a little bit more long-suffering with each other, how we need to be a little bit more on the side of loving each other and being willing to forgive and being willing to accept forgiveness, being willing to understand that you just might be having a bad day that day. Has anybody ever had a bad day? I mean, good Lord, some of the stuff that we say on bad days, I'm just going to be honest with you, we ought to be worldly to say some of the things we say on bad days. But as Christians, we ought to realize that everybody might be having a bad day today. So some of the things that we hear and do, I think, you know, sometimes we just need to say, you know what, I forgive you. And then you ought to be willing to say, you know what, thank you for your forgiveness, and let's move on. What a great world this would be. Amen. What a great world this would be. We're going to go back. Let's go back to verse 20. I just want to review just a little bit, and we're going to turn to Romans chapter 3. But let's start out with a word of prayer this morning, and we'll go ahead and get moving. Brother Mark, could you lead us in prayer this morning, please? Yes. Please. Teaches and preaches, God, open our eyes and our hearts, Lord, and help us to receive those things that are laid out for us. And we'll thank you and give you all the praise, honor, and glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to read verse 20, then we're going to go over to Romans chapter 3. Matthew chapter 5, verse 20, the Bible says, "For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." A lot of folks will use this as, well, we've got to exceed in doing better deeds than they did, or we've got to exceed in doing more work than they did, or we've got to exceed in being more holy than they. No, what it deals with is Christ's righteousness here, not your righteousness. If you turn over to Romans chapter 3 real quickly, Romans chapter 3, I don't want to spend a lot of time here, but I feel that it's good that we hit this one more time. Romans chapter 3, we're going to start reading in verse 19. In verse 19, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God." The law was given to show us that we are guilty. Every one of you sitting in the room, every one of the people that are listening on the internet, or wherever you are, you're guilty. You're guilty because you're a sinner. And you know what? That's okay. It's okay because Jesus Christ knows you're a sinner. He knows your frame. He died for that sin. And all we have to do is accept Him as our Savior. And that sin is as far from the east is from the west. That sin is forgotten. That sin is gone. And Jesus Christ loves you enough to give you that precious, precious gift of Himself. Glory to God. "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified." You can't do enough. You can't follow enough. You can't be good enough to merit going to heaven. "For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Christ Jesus, unto all and upon all that believe, for there is no difference." Doesn't matter who you are. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you've got His righteousness. His righteousness. That's what you need, is His, not yours. "For all have sinned," and we all know this verse, "for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Glory to God. There's nothing greater to speak of during Christmas time than His redemption, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remissions of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. The next verse, where is boasting then? See, here's the thing you've got to understand. When you accept the righteousness that is greater than the Pharisees and the scribes, that means you've accepted His righteousness. All our righteousness is as filthy rags. Everything that we would have to offer is as filthy rags. You've got to come and serve Him as a servant, not serve Him as a king. His righteousness is the one that's greater than the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. It's the one that's better. That's the one. That's the one that you've got to have for yourself. A propitiation, a replacement. That's the one we've got to have. And glory to God, if you're saved in here today, don't worry about boasting. The only thing you can boast about is you're saved. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Because you have faith in Jesus Christ, don't boast on yourself. Everything you have and everything you are is of Jesus Christ. And by the way, glory to God for that. I'm so thankful that I'm not counting on what I can do to get to heaven. I'm so thankful I'm not counting on being good to go to heaven. I talk to the people at the jail, and I tell them all the time that at Christmas time, we often talk about with your children, and I know my mom and dad did it to me, that if you're good all year, there'll be a present for you under the tree. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was a child, 25 minutes after Christmas, I already screwed up the whole next Christmas. But the next Christmas, I've got to be honest with you, there was a present there waiting for me. Why? Because my mom and dad love me. I'm their son, and no matter what happened throughout the whole year, I'm good enough on that day to get a present. And all I have to do is go and take it. Let me tell you something. You're not good enough to get a present from Jesus Christ, but it's still there. It's still going to be there. And all you've got to do is accept that gift. All you've got to do is take it. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you're in here and you don't know the Lord as your Savior, do not wait another day to go to that tree where He hung for you and take that wonderful gift of salvation called Jesus Christ. My opinion, you can't talk about a better thing during Christmas time than the redemption, His wonderful righteousness. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 5. The Lord, and again, I want to reiterate to you that this is a sermon. This is a sermon that Christ is preaching. He starts out by explaining to us how to live our lives to be blessed. In those verses, you see where it tells you, and basically it talks about humility in others. That's what it talks about. Realizing who you are. It's really what it talks about. Realizing who you are. Then it tells you what you are, light and salt. It tells you those things. But when it gets into these, you've got to understand that this is like following what those verses say. You can't just pick these verses out and say, well, this is what it means. It's got to follow. Always read the Bible in context. Do not ever go in the Bible and start picking out verses that fit your agenda. Because I'm going to tell you right now, it's very easy to do that. And a lot of preachers do that. They just pick out a verse here and there. Well, that fits what I'm preaching. That's what I'm going to preach on. But that's not what the verse is even speaking of. You've got to follow what the Bible says. I can't reiterate that to you enough. You've got to follow what the Bible says. Verse 21. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. That's an easy one. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. I would hope so. In the next verse, but I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, which means worthless, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Well, Brother Dave, if these are saved people are in danger of hell fire, that means you're going to lose your salvation if you call somebody a fool. Let me explain something to you about the word fool. In the scripture, if you look up the word fool, it's mentioned tons of times. Never is there a time when it is good. And if you're talking to a bunch of disciples, and this is why I want to stop here for a minute. The scripture, the Lord is trying to teach you something here. The Lord is trying to teach you what to think of your fellow brethren. The Lord is trying to teach you that thou shalt not kill, I understand that, but when's the last time you called somebody worthless? If you want to watch somebody die a slow death, call them worthless. If you want to kill a man's spirit, if you want to take away their heart, call them worthless. Because I got to be honest with you, I'd rather be cussed than called worthless. I want you to think with me. You look at each other sometimes, and during this Christmas season, this should be the time when we look at each other and say, you know what? God has something great for you. God has something wonderful ahead of you for your life. This is a time when we should be willing to say, you know what? You are worth something. Because here's where it all boils down, Christian. You and I are worth the same. Think about that. He didn't die just a little bit for me and a lot for you. He didn't die halfway for him and three-quarters of the way for her. He died all the way for all the people. So that means we're worth the same. So you can't say they're worthless. You're talking to your brothers here. They're not worthless. If you're saying they're worthless, that means Christ's sacrifice meant nothing to them. And by the way, if Jesus is preaching this, I think he has an idea what that means. He's getting ready to go be a sacrifice. And he's got people in the crowd with him that are calling each other worthless. You need to think with me. That's like calling my son worthless. Don't you call my boy worthless. You'll be lucky you don't get your jaw jacked you call my boy worthless. Hey, listen, that's not funny. That's true. How much more, then, are we calling each other worthless? Are we doing things to each other? And Christ is looking down on us saying, that's my child you're talking about. I died for that person now. Later on it says, you call somebody a fool. You're in danger of hell fire. You call somebody a fool, you're acting like a lost person. In the scripture, a fool has said in his heart that there is no God. If you look up in the verse, I believe it's around 65 times the word fool is mentioned. Every time a fool is removed from the thought of heaven. A fool is a person that just has no grasp of reality. a fool is, you couldn't even give a worse insult. In my opinion, I'm looking through the scripture and doing a little bit of study, a fool is about the worst thing you could call somebody. You're not in danger of losing your salvation, but you're sure going to smell like you were close. Don't go up to somebody and say, Brother Carl, you're a fool. What you're doing is you're saying, you don't even act like you're a saved person. Hold the phone, Joan. When's the last time you said to yourself, boy, they don't even act like they're saved. You got to be careful, Christian, because let me explain something to you. I got saved 11 years old, the storefront of this man's church. Well, Christ's church, he was preaching. I got saved at 11. I lived like the devil for years. I had somebody tell me, man, you don't even look like you're saved. That tears a person up inside. And yes, maybe I didn't act like it. But you know what, Christian? We've got to look at each other differently. Amen. We've got to look at each other and lose the anger. Amen. Lose the hatred for each other. You're not even worthy to serve. Are you kidding me? Nobody is. You're a fool. Let me explain something to you. We all deserve hell, not just one or two people. We all deserve it. Yep. But that wonderful gift, we're all going to get to be together. Glory to God for that. Amen. I cannot wait to get to heaven. And you're going to be very surprised who's there. And who's not there. I'm going to tell you right now, you start to look through the eyes of Jesus Christ as he's preaching to these people. You've got to understand something. If he's preaching to his disciples, he's preaching to saved people. That means he's got a special attachment to the crowd he's talking to. And this special attachment to the crowd he's talking to is a attachment of a father to his children. If you're saved, are you a child of God? Then he's talking to a group of his children. And he doesn't like it when his children are fighting amongst themselves, saying, you're worthless, or you're a fool, or you're all these other things. No, no, he's no longer a fool. He's my son. I died for him. He's not worthless. He's worthy because I died for him. Christ has the right to say that. So where are we that we think we have the right to say that they're worthless? Man, that's good preaching. You look at verse 23. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath an aught against thee. No, wait a minute. Pastor Dave, that's not what that verse says. That verse says if I've got an aught against somebody else, I should leave my gift there and go clear up that aught that I've got against somebody else. That's what that verse says, right? When I look at that verse, that's what that says. That I've heard that. If I've got an aught against somebody, go take it to them. That's what that says, right? If thou bring thy, why would you be bringing a gift to the altar, first of all? You got to understand this. Why would you be bringing a gift to the altar? You would be asking for some semblance of forgiveness. Bring a gift to the altar. You're going to offer something to the altar. Why are you offering something? It says, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee. If you come here, and you know your brother's got a problem with you, leave the gift and go fix it with thy brother. Amen. How can you ask the Lord to forgive you for the man that's got something against you if you can't go to the man that's got something against you? That's right. Well, look, this is what Jesus is teaching. If you don't believe me, you've got a problem with this. Look at what it says. Leave there thy gift, verse 24, before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother and then come and offer thy gift. How dare you come to me and you know somebody's got something against you. You messed up. I'm so glad that nobody else in this room is messed up. I mess up 3 times a day, religiously. That's a joke. That's funny. I mess up all the time, and I've had people that have something against me, and if I know about it and I get to this altar and I'm asking for forgiveness for that from Christ, why am I not asking for forgiveness from that person? You've done something to somebody through your life, and you say, man, I'm just going to bring my, you know what, Lord, you forgive me because I am not going to talk to that guy. The Lord says, no, no. You leave this right here. I'll be here when you get back. You go and fix it with him first. Now, I want to talk to you just for a minute. I know that none of you have done something to hurt somebody else. But I have done that a lot. Yes, sir. Said things, done things. Completely, it's always in the flesh, by the way.
That's right.
When you hurt somebody, it's in the flesh.
Yes, sir.
And I want you to understand something about forgiveness. Forgiveness is a proposition, and I'll show you here in a second. Forgiveness is a proposition where you should always be willing to offer it. As a Christian, you're obligated.
Yes,
you got to understand, as a Christian, you're not afforded the opportunity to say no. If you're truly a Christian and you truly desire to live as Christ would have you to live, you don't have the opportunity to say no to forgiveness.
Right.
He died for you. You should be willing to forgive anything that comes along. You should be willing to do that. Especially if it's asked for. You should be willing to do that. Even if it's not asked for, you should be willing to forgive. Let me show you something in Scripture. Nowhere in the Scripture does it say, don't forgive. You're not going to find it. Don't forgive. You're not going to find that. I want to show you something real quick. Let's look down. Let's continue to read. Leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. I want you to turn to Matthew 18. We're going to look at two different parts, two different thoughts. Two different thoughts. Hold your hand in Matthew 18. I'm going to read two verses to you. Just hold your hand there. Mark chapter 11, verse 25. And when ye stand praying, the next word is forgive. And when ye stand praying, forgive. If ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. You're going to have times as a Christian where you've got to forgive, and it's going to be hard. Forgiveness is hard. It really is. It's a difficult thing to do, to forgive. And if you look at that, what's it telling you to do right away? If you have aught against any, what do you do? Come on, you got to be better than that. If you've got aught against somebody, and this is hard, I know, but if you've got aught against any, what do you do? Immediately. It's not something that you hold on to. It's not a grudge you hold on to. Bitterness is a cancer that dwells inside of our body. That cancer will eat away and eat away and eat away until at nighttime you're tired. You're going to come home and you're going to stay up night. And by the way, the person you have an ought against is going to sleep well. I hope you choke that down. But that ought that is against you is a cancer that's going to grow and become inside of you. And it's something that you can never get rid of. It's a terrifying experience to live with bitterness. Get rid of the bitterness, Christian. There's nothing wrong with coming to the altar and saying, Lord, please take away my bitterness. But you've got to go eventually to that brother and say, I am so sorry. I want you to look at something. And it's amazing how many people, the teaching in Mark is to forgive. It's one of the greatest gifts you can give somebody. It's one of the greatest gifts you can give somebody is to tell them that you're sorry for hurting them. You ever have a bully in school? Man, I had a bully, Tom Brisky. I'll never forget him. He stood 18 feet tall, I'm telling you. And every day, I'd get punched or something, just every day. And my dad's one of the most meek people you ever want to meet. He's not somebody that's going to fight you. And one day he told me, he said, son, it's going to have to come a time when you face him. Because it was every day. He said, son, there's going to have to be a time when you punch him. He says, if you do, do it with everything you've got. So I meet this bully on the top of the slide. This slide was 50 feet tall. Actually, I went back to my elementary school. It's only about 8 feet. But it felt like it was 50. It was cold out that day. And he was at the top of the slide. He says, you're not going to go down this slide. I says, oh, yes, I am. I said, I've about had enough of you. And I said, I'm going down that slide. He says, no, you're not. And I punched him with everything I had. He fell off the slide, head over heels off the slide.
Amen.
And I went down the slide, acted like nothing happened. He came to me later. I asked him to forgive me. He asked me to forgive him. We became great friends. Christian, I have a question. There's not a whole lot of gifts that are better than good friendship. And I've got to be honest with you. Are we willing to walk day to day to day to day with an ought against somebody in completely wiping away the chance for friendship? Because I know that you think about a person, and Dr. Bob Gray used to make this statement. Is there somebody that could walk into the room right now and sit down next to you and you would ruin your church service? If there is, you should forgive them. Because I'm going to be honest with you, it's not good to live this way. One more thought. I should stop, but one more thought. Preacher, please, can I do this one more thing? Verse 15, I want to show you this in Matthew chapter 18, verse 15. And it's amazing how quickly we'll run to this passage. Now understand, I showed you forgive, right? Amen, I showed you forgive. That's the first thing you should do is forgive, right? We got that. Listen to what it says. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. Don't broadcast it. Don't broadcast. None of anybody else's business. If you got a problem with somebody, take him apart to the side and talk to him man to man. I would to God we had some men around still that's willing to say, you know what, you bother me, but that's all right. I forgive you, and I want to talk about it. Amen. Would to God we had more men instead of gossiping little wimps. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. So in other words, you didn't have him before, but you may have a good friend after. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen and a heathen man and a publican. We run right there a lot of times. I've heard a lot of people say, well, glory to God, I'm just going to take some more. And if that, I'm going to church him. I've been here for 16 years. I've never seen this man even come close to churching anybody. Why? Because if we forgive, we'll never get to the first part. If we forgive, we'll never get to the first part of that. You're going to gain thy brother because you're going to forgive him. That forgiveness that you have inside of you, Christian, that Jesus Christ gave to you, that forgiveness should always be out there, always be ready, always be available. It should be a power source coming from you that's always there, always there. They may not accept the forgiveness, but at least you're trying to forgive. How many times shall I forgive my brother? 7 times? No, 70 times 7, because that way you know your forgiveness is always out there. And by the way, when you forgive, don't worry, I forgive and forget. I hear that all the time. You don't have the capability to forget. You don't. Don't think you do, because a lot of people mire themselves in guilt because they can't forget the trespass. Don't forget it. Keep forgiving it. Keep forgiving it. How many times shall I forgive him? 70 times 7. Yeah. Keep forgiving it. It may take you that many to get past. If you could forget, how great would the forgiveness be? Because you forgive one time and you forget about it, it's no big deal. No, no. Don't hold the grudge. It's possible as a Christian, by the way, to not hold grudges. You keep forgiving every time. Forgive. And then forgive yourself for holding on to the flesh. Forgive yourself, realizing your frame. This is not that hard of teaching. This is what Christ wants us to understand. We're human beings. We ought to love one another. And by the way, the next time somebody has a trespass against you, be ready to have the forgiveness out there right off the bat so you don't have to go through all the bitterness first. Forgive now. Forgive now. Because everybody's having a hard time. Forgive now. This should be the place when you come here, forgiveness should be waiting here. Because I'm going to tell you right now, when Jesus stands there to forgive you, there was no thought of who you were. There was no stipulations on the forgiveness. Whosoever will may come. When you have somebody that's got something against you, whosoever will may come should come to your mind. Forgive now. Forgive now. All the rest of it will take care of itself. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you for the tremendous gift of yourself for Christmas time. Wrapping yourself in swaddling clothes, coming down to this sin-cursed earth and dying for people that didn't even like you. Lord, we want to tell you we love you today. Oh God, you're so wonderful to us. The things that you put up with out of your people astound me. Lord God, let us take on more of your mind. Let us treat each other with respect. Let us treat each other with love and caring. Lord, help me. Help me to treat others with caring and love. I fall so short in this category, Lord. It's one of the hardest things for me. Oh God, please help me. Help me to love as you would have me to love. And help me always to be ready to forgive. Forgiveness first. The rest will take care of itself. Oh God, help me today. And I ask you to anoint my preacher today. Oh God, anoint the cantata today. Lord, let you be glorified in everything we do. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.